I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 142, discussing the Daredevil Season 2, Episode 11, 380. This show is recorded on Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix. And the general Marvel comic universe.
Because of re-autopsied ninjas.
If you'd like to talk to us about re-autopsied ninjas, you can get a hold of us at our website, legendsofshield.com. You can get a hold of us at our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find us at our Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can find our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking once again about our giveaway for the last week. We're going to be talking about Daredevil Season 2, the 380 episode. We're going to be talking about your weekly Marvel news, your feedback, and highlights from the live chat room. Now, Lauren, we are entering into this final week to give away this wonderful S.H.I.E.L.D. RFID wallet. Now, what do people have to do to get involved in it?
Well, what you need to do is, we have a little bit of a theme going. Because it's a wallet and it's where you'd put your ridiculous amounts of money, what would Tony Stark spend his ridiculous amounts of money on? You need to get it to us and you need to make us laugh. And most importantly, when you get it to us in a format that we can actually look back on, like not in like the live chat or something like that, where, let's be honest, we will forget. Something like tweets, Facebook comments, emails, voicemail, anything like that. But yes, get a hold of us what you think Tony Stark would spend his ridiculous amounts of money on and make it ridiculous.
Haley, if you had to enter into the giveaway, what would you actually do?
I feel like I did this already, but I don't remember what it was.
Do it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh my gosh. I'm on the spot.
Do it again.
On the spot.
Something not fun and ridiculous. Pay off those student loans.
That's not fun.
How about pay off all the student loans in the entire world?
No, buy the debt from the government and make everybody pay me money.
Pull a John Oliver and just start like shaming governments.
That sounds good to me.
Right?
We have had several entries into the SHIELD RFID shielded whatever
the
wallet.
SHIELD squared wallet.
There you go. We've had several entries already. So you have one more week to get your entries in if you haven't entered already. All right. We're going to move on to the main event. All right, we're going to be talking about Daredevil 380, and as usual, we run down the director and writer for the episode, thus known as the creative team for the episode. So it was directed, once again, by Steven Sergic. He directed an episode a couple of weeks ago, and he has 46 total directing credits, stretching back to 1985. There was a lot of shows that we named off last time. I know Person of Interest was one. I will miss that show. It just ended up earlier on this summer. Warehouse 13's on that list. Burn Notice, The Blacklist. Haley, do you have a favorite show that's on that list from Steven Sergic at all?
Jessica Jones is pretty awesome.
It is. But yeah. There's also The Flash. So, I mean, you got a couple to choose from there.
There's Wayne's World 2.
So he was Steven Sergic was also the producer for Burn Notice and Warehouse 13. It was also written by Mark Verheiden, who has 20 credits going back to 1988. He's got a lot of great shows here. 2 episodes of Constantine, 4 episodes of Falling Skies, 1 episode of Caprica, 4 episodes of Heroes. And honestly, I didn't go back and see what season that was because that does make a difference.
It looks like a later season, so not that
great. Okay.
Not something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And 9 episodes of Battlestar Galactica, a TV film, Dark Shadows, 9 episodes of Smallville, 9 episodes of Time Cop, the TV miniseries, as well as the film, 2 episodes of Daredevil, and the film, the comic book sensation that came out of nowhere called The Mask.
Also, 2 episodes of Freaky Links. I'm like, I guess the only person excited by this, but 2 episodes of Freaky Links.
I don't even know what Freaky Links are. What is
it? And he did My Name is Bruce. Oh my God. So if y'all have never seen it, if you like Evil Dead, if you like Army of Darkness, if you like Ash versus the Evil Dead, which I just got out on Blu-ray and we've been watching this week, check out My Name is Bruce. It's from 2007. It's this really meta movie about this small town that kind of thinks that Bruce Campbell really is a monster hunter, and it's completely ridiculous. It's fun.
Bruce is awesome. I could see him as a monster hunter. That's great. Mark also was the producer for Daredevil, Constantine, Falling Skies, Heroes, Battlestar Galactica, Razor, Dark Shadows, Smallville, and Time Cop, the TV series. So the man is very intrigued. And I think they were getting a kind of a senior creative team in for this episode. And first, we will go to the meaning of the episode 380. Haley, what does 380 mean to you?
Well, I think Frank said it best. People who don't know shite about guns usually go for something shiny, you know, something with a fancy grip. There's always the a-hole who gets the big hand cannon that kicks like a mule and they're too afraid to use it. But a 380 shows thought. Maybe it's not your first rodeo.
Yeah, that was a pretty good quote there. I remember that. So gun selection does, and caliber selection does mean something. I mean, a lot of people use a 40 caliber versus a 45 because it's easier to conceal, but yet still has a lot of stopping power. In this case, 380 is kind of in that boat, 389 millimeter. So there you go. Was that the only meaning?
Well, I think, you know, the obvious meaning is to the gun in particular. That's the gun that Karen has. But his description of her picking that gun, it's an episode about somebody who plans, who's thinking about their moves, which I think could describe several people in this episode. We've got the blacksmith. We're starting to see some of his movement on the chessboard. Madame Gao is back.
Yes.
Nobu is doing whatever he's doing with his fancy sarcophagus and his blood zombies.
I think Madame Gao was really the third surprise cameo in this series, unless we knew about her before, because we got Nobu, we got Fisk, and we've got Madame Gao, all I didn't know were going to be in this series.
Yeah, everyone from last season's back.
Woohoo, it's a party, everyone.
Except for the Russians.
Even the dead ones, or some of the dead ones.
The Russians are really dead, for real.
They are so dead, especially the one who got his head smashed. Super dead, y'all.
Marcy's back, too. Woo!
Yes, Marcy's back.
That's cool.
It's like a reunion episode.
It is. Let's talk a little bit about the status of New York. I need to say this because I was watching this episode earlier today and I was thinking, you know what? What is up with New York? Because they're totally oblivious to full-blown attacks on the shipyard and the hospital. I mean, there's no emergency vehicles there at all or anything until well after the fact. I mean, come on, what is up with that?
You know, anything that doesn't come from another planet just doesn't faze them at this point.
I'm pretty sure that has something to do with it, yeah, because
I mean, there aren't literally cities dropping out of the sky. It just doesn't get them out of bed in the morning.
If you don't have major robotic snakes dropping out of the sky or cities being lifted into orbit.
Yeah, at some point, it's like, this is just not worth getting out of bed over.
Yeah, you know those people in California that are like, oh, I don't get out of bed for anything less than a 6. These guys, they're like, oh, I don't get out of bed for anything less than a Hulk.
That's right. Did you guys feel that earthquake that happened last week, by the way?
No.
Nope.
I live a little too far south for that. So I texted one of my friends who lives in DFW, and she has a 1-year-old kid. And I'm like, oh, congratulations, baby's first earthquake. And she's like, there was an earthquake? We're in Austin. Oh, okay.
That's right.
Well, you missed it.
I was at a mutual friend's house in Texas the last time that there was an earthquake in Texas, so that was pretty cool.
No, that earthquake was in Oklahoma, and I was in Oklahoma, and I thought somebody crashed a car into my apartment.
Oh, dang.
But last week, did you feel anything, Haley?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so last week, I literally had a hurricane over my head and a giant rocket explode. That is what happened to me last week. What the heck? Florida.
That was right near my cousin's house, by the way, the SpaceX rocket. She was at work and she's looking out the window. And she's like, oh, yeah, that should be. I wonder, you know, it should be taking off pretty soon. I wonder. She looks out and it exploded. And she's like, huh? Yeah, it sounds like it was just an interesting week last week.
It was. And not only was I accosted by the hurricane as it was approaching Florida, but then my flight out took me into the path of the approaching hurricane. So I got to experience the hurricane twice. Not once, but twice.
Are you like a hurricane magnet or something?
Obviously.
The moral of the story is don't hang out with Star Pie.
Not when there's a huge tropical storm off the coast. No, because it comes right at me. So that's what happened last week.
I think there's another one forming in the Atlantic right now. So you might want to stay away from coastal cities for the moment.
I think that's fair and square. I'm in the Midwest. So the only thing that could hit me is a tornado, a volcano, because we know Yellowstone's going to go up.
The Yellowstone,
Or an earthquake. So that's what I have to worry about. Snowstorms, not so much because it's like a gazillion degrees out right now. But that's coming. It's September. So it's coming. Winter is coming. All right, so back to the episode. The status of the law firm, we've been talking about this, Nelson and Murdoch. There is no Nelson and Murdoch. We saw the disintegration last time I was around or last episode or whatever, but really, there's the three and they're doing three different things and none of which is law firm related, right?
Yeah.
But that law firm, Foggy's getting ready to line up his next gig.
Yeah, Marcy's like, oh, so do you mind if I get you an interview with this place that I just kind of know? And I'm like, because, you know, having seen it already, I know what's coming.
Well, she works there, too, doesn't she? She's already working there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she had to switch over to work there after what happened with the last one. I can't remember if she got fired or the law firm disintegrated.
I want to say she probably jumped ship.
Well, that, but yeah, I think the whole law firm was probably going down for being super shady when the kingpin went down.
I see. Well, that is the status of the law firm, and the bulletin was only mentioned this week, so Karen said she was doing some work with the bulletin, but we didn't see Ellison. We didn't actually see the bulletin, so there really was no bulletin. And where were the reporters covering this? Where is the media? I'll go back to my first point. Nobody cares.
This is all being covered up.
Mm-hmm.
How can you cover up a big explosion?
Oh, they just hadn't gotten there yet on that one. They're back behind the police line where Karen should be, but for whatever reason, they let her run up to the exploding boat.
And anyway, blah, 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 conspiracy theories, blah, 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 crisis actors, blah, 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 gas refracting off of Venus, blah, blah, blah.
Look into my pen, please.
Yes.
So we had some amazing fights in this episode. You had the shipyard, you had the hospital fight, you had the stuff at the dry cleaners, which is really the shipyard, right? And then you had the diner, which was Punisher VIV one-on-one. So there was some punishing. There was some fighting. There was some blood in this episode.
There was that guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
Not pretty.
No.
Looked like his skin was literally coming off.
It was.
Oh. Yeah.
Because he got pistol whipped like 8 times. I didn't count. I was too busy not puking.
That's not really good for you. You got all these bones right here close to the surface. So the makeup, I mean, good job, makeup department.
Yeah,
you did your
great
research.
That scene and the scene with Frank's foot were the really gruesome ones that I remember for sure this season. There might be another one coming up that I've blocked out. I'm not sure. But yeah, this season, much more gruesome than season one.
Just what made me wince more was at the end with the blood tubs, because that is so not the most efficient way to get blood out of a body.
Mm-mm. That didn't make me wince, though, the way the guy's cheek did.
Were the wrists cut, or was it?
Yes.
Oh, so they were literally bleeding out.
Well, there's so much things I want to say about this, but some of them are like, I feel like should not be said.
There are more efficient ways to drain people and collect the blood.
And that is not how you cut a wrist anyway.
See, I thought when they were cutting his wrist, it was going to be to show that he could heal now or something. Like, something they were doing had given them healing powers, but that is not what they were showing.
It's just, it's one of those things where, remember we were talking about, you know, when people, you know, are gonna like drip blood on a thing or something like that, they always, they cut like the meat of the hand or something like that. I was watching Batman versus Superman a couple weeks ago, and Lex Luthor did that. And it's like, dude, no, you're gonna need that hand. Just, there's other places that you're not, it's not gonna hurt as bad. You're not gonna be like constantly flexing it, and it's gonna bleed just as much. But, I mean, I guess they're not going to need it again really soon. So, but again, it's just instinctive. Like, that's not the most efficient way.
Maybe it, well, they're obviously doing like some sort of ancient ceremony thing. Maybe it's part of the ceremony. Hand wavy explanation.
Yeah, I just don't get that whole thing. And of course, we see more of the kids next episode as we go into the season finale. Actually, next week will be the penultimate and the season finale as we approach that.
Mm-hmm. Going to be doubling up on the live tweets.
Right. So I'm co-host on the Starling Tribune, which is the Arrow podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network. And I was taking a look at the ship that they were fighting on and exploded the deck all over because it had drugs and gas and ammo and stuff on it. It looks surprisingly to me like the Amazo from Arrow. Did it look like the Amazo to anybody else? I think that was the actual same ship that they used.
I think it's a fairly standard freighter ship.
I'm calling it. It is the Amazo. So the Amazo.
I don't think they if the show shot in Vancouver, I would say, yeah, of course they use the same set, but I don't think they do.
I didn't say that they actually shot in Vancouver. I think the Amazo actually transported itself from the West Coast to the East Coast to be shot in New York City.
Okay.
Maybe it's like those, you know, those Alaska cruises that like, you know, during the summer months, they're in Alaska, and during the winter months, they're in Hawaii. Maybe it's like that. And this is it's New York time.
There you go. See, I'm right. Lauren said it. I'm right.
If I've learned anything from doing this podcast, it's that Star Pie is always wrong.
That's the one thing that you've learned from years of podcasting about Marvel is that Star Pie is wrong.
Yep.
What did you think of Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil, in this episode, Haley?
I think he's continuing on his path of being a moron. I did like the way when he was talking to Frank right before he was like, maybe we should do it your way. Right before he said it, he crossed himself.
I didn't even notice that.
Yep. Holding up his Catholicism.
Yeah, there was a religious reference, although that was, it took a turn for the worse like 2 seconds later.
Right.
Punisher was like, oh no, dude, that's not how this works. Once you cross that line, you cannot go back.
I like that Frank was the one telling him, you know, this isn't something you can do once and then go back to being who you were. This becomes who you are because it has become who he is.
That's right. So when Matt found out where the blacksmith was or where to find the blacksmith or whatever, and then he discovered Gao, I thought Gao was the blacksmith. And that is not right.
No, I really liked her making her case to Matt, as it were.
It's hard to argue with her. I mean, yeah. She's wrong, too, but it's hard to argue with her. She makes sense.
Well, that's the thing about the bad guys on this show so far is, to some extent, they do make a lot of sense. Like Kingpin in the first season, he was just trying to make his neighborhood a better place. Gao, you know, her argument, again, just a sound. Frank, his, you know, from his point of view, just a sound. The thing is, with all of them, even Daredevil, I mean, their methodology is not great.
That's true.
I mean, Stick even.
Yeah, I was just going to say, everybody's flawed in one shape, manner, or form or another in this series. Nobody's the pervasive good guy completely. I mean, you might want to say Matt or Daredevil is, but he's just being a total wanker and not being a team player or anything like that. So you might say Foggy, but Foggy's being very argumentative and combative with the whole relationship with Matt, which in the comics is kind of what I've seen is sort of true, but he could have been that stalwart. So could have Karen, but they all have issues and you have to look at people with their issues. I think the same thing is true of Jessica Jones, and I wouldn't think that Iron Fist is going to be any different either when it comes out. Luke Cage. Mm-hmm.
It's like everyone's seeing their own little piece of the picture, and they're all attacking, you know, their own little piece, but we're just getting hints of the whole big picture. So is it all going to work out for the best? We can hope so.
We certainly can. So Foggy had a couple of bit parts in this episode, and he's been kind of strung along from episode to episode. I would think that he, being Matt's partner, would be a main character, but even though we're following him, I can't call him a main character in this series at this point in time. Am I wrong about that?
Right now, he has sort of become secondary to the plot. I would say that in terms of the three, Matt, Karen, Foggy, Foggy's story has definitely become the tertiary one. It's Matt primary, Karen secondary, Foggy tertiary.
So let's talk a little bit about Karen. She had her post-breakup.
She had the worst date ever.
I know. She has this post-breakup scene with Matt, and then she goes and has her little date, I guess, if you want to call it that, with the Punisher, and has to hide behind the counter and listens to two guys getting brutally murdered.
Yeah. Also, that waitress kept bringing them decaf. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Jerk.
He's like, I'm going to need a lot more than this. That's like near beer. Wait, how many decaf coffees equals an actual coffee? It's like five or six, right?
Something like. But yeah, it's like she goes out to the diner with him, trusting because it's Karen. And they're having this, you know, deep conversation. And he's giving her all this advice that may not be, you know, precisely wanted. And honestly, I didn't think was that great advice, because she's like, being around Matt hurts me. And he's like, go back to him. No, if somebody has hurt you, if somebody's broken trust like that with you, I mean, you are well within your rights to be like, okay, for my protection, I'm stepping back from you. You are well within your rights to do that. So I'd say Frank's advice was bad. But then again, a lot of Frank's advice is bad, as evidenced by the fact that literally 2 minutes later, he's murdering a guy gruesomely. So
not just one, but
after
two.
After murdering another guy, not so gruesomely.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Punisher, do you think he's alive? Not. I mean, we've seen the series, so.
Oh, definitely. I mean, nothing can kill Frank Castle, except for in the comics when they kill Frank Castle and he becomes Franken-Castle. Which wouldn't be awesome if we got that on Netflix?
Maybe next season.
Yeah. Next season, it's Daredevil and Franken-Castle fighting crime and having adventures.
Am I mistaken, or did the Punisher actually get his own series? I thought he did.
There's been talk about it.
It's still rumored. It's the whole, you know, Punisher and Blade and Moon Knight. But again, it's all conjecture.
Okay. So we haven't talked about Stick at all and what's going on with him and Elektra, who obviously survived the Frenchman last time around. I did watch that episode, by the way, before you guys recorded last week. So that was pretty cool. But she takes care of Stick's driver and Stick's other guy. What?
Yeah.
Always check the back seat.
Seriously. Is this not a thing they teach guys, that you're always supposed to check the back seat when you get in a car?
You know, I think it's really obvious. I mean, that seat's big and it's on a lighted street. I mean, I think it would be obvious if there was some sort of a form back there, even if it was on the floorboard.
She is a ninja.
Yeah. And it goes double if you're in a shady business. Like, you do a thorough check of your car just as a matter
especially
of course.
Especially when you just failed at killing somebody who is an awesome ninja assassin. Check the back seat.
That's right.
But no. They get stabbed in the back.
Yes.
Real quick.
And they leave Stick sharpening his sword, which, did you guys see the actual sharpening of the sword? And then the blade, the edge of the blade was not on the sharpening block the whole time. Did you guys see that?
He is blind, dude. Well,
I assume that he knows by feel how to sharpen a blade because he's a blind ninja.
I guess they didn't cover that with Scott Glenn.
Apparently not.
And then, yeah, a bit of a Kill Bill moment there at the end with Elektra and Stick.
Right. So we got Nobu with his five kids bleeding out. We've got Stick and Elektra. And did Daredevil make it there at the end? I think he did, right?
I didn't think so.
No. So he's on his way. And you've got Elektra and Stick facing off. And Claire's gone, though. She quit.
Yeah. Claire quit. It was awesome. Claire is, like, trying to, like, get to the bottom of all the, you know, the double autopsy ninja that we were talking about, you know, right there in our intro, which was interesting.
You have the autopsies and incisions and you're still a walking person? How does that happen?
They're like, maybe he fell. And she's like, no, no, that's no.
He tripped and fell onto an autopsy table.
And then so like, well, we can make it so you're not in as much trouble, but you have to drop this whole thing. And she's like, well, no. So then she basically goes in, flips everyone the bird and leaves. And she's awesome. And I can't wait to see where this brings her into Luke Cage.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love Claire.
We've got a lot of awesomeness going on right now. We got two episodes left. Are you guys excited next week to watch the two episodes?
Oh, yes.
I am, because I don't really remember the details of the next two episodes at all.
I've noticed that with you the last few episodes. You're like, I don't remember that at all.
I was probably pretty tired by the time I was watching these last few episodes and mostly getting the big picture stuff.
So aren't you glad that we're actually doing this now, watching mm-hmm. it again?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Taking the time to savor.
Do you guys have anything else to say about the episode? Lauren, do you have anything?
Once again, do not take relationship advice from Frank Castle.
Really, it should go without saying, but yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you notice at the beginning that one of the kids was getting a piggyback ride from the ninja?
I did not.
I did, because it was making me, it made me giggle.
Do you have anything else, Haley, or just the quotes?
I'm looking to see if there's anything but quotes, but no, it's just quotes.
All right, let's do it.
You know the problem with martyrs? The good ones end up dead.
Actually, they all end up dead. That's
the definition
that's
of a martyr.
Kind of what you need to be a martyr. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not yours to protect.
That was Karen, right?
Yep,
yes.
Karen to Matt.
Go, Karen.
Do you guys always serve BS here, or is that just her?
As he's hopped up on decaf coffee.
I really wish I could say more of Frank's quotes.
Yeah.
Jeez. Good news is, you're not fired.
Yeah, right. I quit.
Let's just call this strike three, shall we?
That's right. When she walks in.
I love Claire.
As in, our mutual friend is going to need to get friendly with another nurse.
I know. I was like, ooh, some directed romance there.
That's the one missed opportunity, is I wish we'd gotten more Claire and Foggy.
They were an amazing couple. Acting against each other. Mm-hmm. I don't see them in a relationship, but they did have great screen presence between the two.
And now it's ready.
Dun,
dun, dun.
That's it.
All right.
The end of the episode.
Thanks again, ladies, for watching the episode this week. That was awesome. We'll have to watch 2 hours of Daredevil next week. Aww.
Yes.
So I will have to start before I get off work.
Yes, that would be preferable. And oh, by the way, Daredevil came out this week, issue number 11 comic book. This is my favorite of the series so far, issue number 11. So if you haven't caught the recent run of Daredevil, go catch it. It is some good stuff.
It was nice of them to time the release of issue 11 with our episode 11.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Very convenient.
It's all about the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., let me tell you. Yep. We get calls all the time from Marvel, Marvel Comics, Marvel TV. I mean, they're just calling us left and right. So next week we will have Michelle Ealy with us and we will go through episodes 12 and 13. It'll be a race to the finish because in 2 weeks we have the premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So looking forward to that. And I think it's time for some news, ladies, isn't it?
I think so.
Probably. All right.
Talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have our first look at Robbie Reyes.
This made me very happy. The look of Gabriel Luna in this costume looks so much like Robbie Reyes in the comic. The article that we're linking has a little bit more about him and some talking with Marissa Tankeron and some other people, but just, oh, the picture is cool.
I can't wait to see the season. I know that some people are not looking forward to having Ghost Rider on the series, and I get what they're coming from, but the show so far has earned my trust at least enough to ride with it, no pun intended, and I intend to do so. So I think we're going to have a good ride between September 20th and the mid-season finale in early December.
That's kind of one of the things that I'm really interested in, is seeing how they fold in Ghost Rider with this kind of more, not really realistic universe, but sort of, like, I mean, we haven't seen outright magic in it, so.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. But then again, we're gearing up towards Doctor Strange, so.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we have some Netflix series coming at us, including Luke Cage.
Luke Cage!
There you go. So first of all 13 episode titles have been revealed.
Yep. Thanks to, oh no, they didn't. They put all the episode titles, which are all the names of Gangstar songs, and they linked the music videos for all the songs, or sometimes it's just the songs, no music videos. If you're interested, you want to listen to the song and get a feel for it before the episode, check out that link. I'm going to be doing that after the episode and really, really looking forward to it.
I'm going to be updating this show schedule with episode names. It's pretty exciting stuff, guys.
Yeah,
yes.
It's awesome. So the next news story that we have is, again, Luke Cage. And what a great superhero that we've all been waiting for.
This article, it's from IO9, and it's opinion piece. It's an opinion piece called Marvel's Luke Cage is the Unapologetically Black Superhero Show I've Been Waiting For. And it's by Evan Narcisse. And it's a really good article. I was reading it earlier today. And it's talking about how the character's been updated. He's not exactly as, you know, brash as he is in his early comics. And kind of linking the Luke Cage that we saw in Jessica Jones to what we're seeing in the show. And talking about how some of the characters come across and how it kind of fits into, you know, modern society, in particular Misty Knight. And it just, everything that I'm reading just has me more and more excited to watch this. I love Luke Cage as a character, and just seeing him updated like this and with Mike Coulter, who we've seen as an amazing actor already, just has me so geared up, and I can't wait.
It's going to be a fun ride. I can't wait either. It's definitely got my attention. And something else that has my attention is, of course, the next Netflix series, which is Iron Fist. And apparently we've got some pictures from Iron Fist as well.
Yeah, I think we might have seen a couple of these last week.
Okay.
Danny Rand, played by Finn Jones, kind of walking around with an oozing wound. So I guess the tradition continues.
Can't be a Marvel property without an oozy wound.
We also see him hanging around with an actress playing Jessica Stroop, who's playing Joy Meacham. And they're talking, and he looks homeless, and she looks like a member of the Partridge Family. So it's an interesting aesthetic going on here.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that stuff on the screen, on the small screen, I guess, or a big screen, because I've got a big screen. I'll be watching it on my big screen. So does that count as a big screen?
Yeah, we say the small screen, but big TVs are less expensive than ever these days.
Yeah.
Yep. So are good sound systems.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you get?
Well, I got a cheap, crappy one, but the good ones aren't that expensive.
Is it a sound bar or is it a 5.1 surround sound system?
5.1 surround.
See, that's a good, that's decent. That's great for a single person's apartment. I like it. Do the neighbors complain?
No.
Okay. Then
but
you need to turn it
up. The upstairs neighbor, I think, just got a bass, or somebody with a bass moved in, because that's all I heard all day yesterday was somebody playing the bass.
Like the bass guitar?
Yes.
Nice.
Not really.
Well, good luck there.
Yeah, upstairs neighbors are right now I'm very disgruntled at mine.
I'm disgruntled at my upstairs. No, I'm not. I live in my own house. The only upstairs neighbors are people that also live in this house, which I can go and yell at any point in time that I want to. Of course, I don't yell because they're family members. I'm like, guys,
yeah,
come
you
on.
Just change the Wi-Fi password.
Or shut it off.
I could go yell at my upstairs neighbors, but I have no actual authority over them.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point, Haley. I've got the Switch right on my right hand right now, but if I hit it, it's going to knock me out too. So let's just not do that right now.
It's the nuclear option.
It's been used before. So Black Panther is going to be grittier and darker.
There was an interview with Chadwick Boseman at San Diego Comic Con this year that Comic Book Resources just released. And apparently he couldn't get into specifics because they haven't even started filming as of the interview. But he said that it's not really like Ant-Man in terms of how it fits into the MCU. He said, most of the ones that I've liked are the ones I've liked most are the ones that are funny. I love Ant-Man. But for me, most of the time, the darker superhero movies are the ones that I gravitate toward that I love the most. I'm glad the tone of Black Panther may be a little grittier. I just wanted to establish that from the beginning. That's what we're doing. So we'll see what darker and grittier means in terms of Marvel. I don't think we're going to get something as grimdark as, you know, the Zack Snyder movies.
I hope not.
But maybe something more along the lines of Civil War.
And the more and more I think about Zack Snyder, the more angrier I get. And I shouldn't. It's only entertainment. It's only a movie. Come on, let's move on.
I know, but it's the whole thing of it's rewarding failure. Like, his movies are bad and he gets to keep making them.
Not anymore. He wasn't picked for Justice League Dark. I mean,
he's still producing them.
Hopefully in name only. Maybe they're just writing out the contract. Hopefully. I don't know. I can't speak for
DC. They're required
DC.
According to the contract to give him a pile of cash, but he's not allowed to touch anything anymore.
No, you cannot have a trailer. No, you cannot have an office. No, you just take this paycheck.
In fact, you can't even be
sit
on
in the
set.
Corner and think about what you've done.
No lanyard for you. All right, so let's move on over to Spider-Man Homecoming. And this was great. I heard this on Audibly Exquisite and I was like, say what? And I rewound it a couple of times because I was in the gym. I'm like, oh, no way. This is so cool. And then the news story appears in our news section. So what do we got going in Spider-Man Homecoming?
Jon Favreau will be reprising his role as Happy Hogan in Spider-Man Homecoming.
That
makes me really
awesome.
Happy.
When's the last time he showed up? Was it Iron Man 2?
Three.
Remember okay. He was in the hospital and Tony kept putting Downton Abbey on?
Oh, poor Happy.
Because he got blowed up by the thingy.
Yeah. He's going to be there and it's going to be fun. I think there's going to be a lot of Iron Man and Spider-Man universes combining. So that's going to be pretty cool. So we've seen Mr. Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston around quite a bit lately, but apparently Idris Elba is now gracing us in the news section as well.
Yes, this pleased me greatly, not only because it's three fantastic looking men, but because the video is funny. So Tom Hiddleston got a TV Choice Award for The Night Manager, and he's given a speech, and then Chris Hemsworth shows up and is like, oh, is this ours? Thank you. And then Idris Elba shows up and is like, hey, how come Luther didn't get nominated? And they're just kind of joking around, and it's a really, really fun video. So just give it a watch. It's not that long, and it's really funny. And ever since seeing Ghostbusters, anytime I see Chris Hemsworth talking with his actual accent where he's just kind of joking around and having fun, I'm like, Kevin?
I haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, so I have to take
your word.
Oh,
you should.
It.
It's fun. It's going
to
be out on DVD soon.
I want to. It's not in theaters anymore.
Oh, it's not?
It should be out on DVD soon.
It should. It's true.
And then I'm going to get it, and I'm going to watch it a lot because Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones and the rest. But
there's a few I missed this summer. There was Independence Day. I did not see, and yeah, I heard that wasn't great.
Yeah, but from what I've heard, you didn't miss much.
What I want to see is in the theaters right now. It's Sully. I might actually go see that this weekend.
It's out already?
It's been out for a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Oh, I thought it wasn't out yet. The one I want to see isn't out, and I just bought tickets for because it's a limited release. It's Shin Godzilla.
That's right.
Yes, I'm quite happy.
Is Godzuki in there?
God, I hope not. No, I don't think Hideki Anno would allow Godzuki anywhere near that.
Okay. That's what I remember most about Godzilla is the boat and the two kids and Godzuki. Yeah, the cartoon. That's where I'm coming
from. I remember
from.
That cartoon. It was not good.
No, it was not. Hanna-Barbera, I believe, right?
Yes, it was.
All right. Haley, you got anything burning in your pocket in according to Marvel this week?
I don't think so. Nope.
All right. So with that, we're going to move on to some feedback.
Feedback.
We had a lot of feedback this week because it wasn't just 1 week. It was 2 weeks worth of feedback because these ladies, when they take over, can't go into our Twitter account or our Facebook account and get anything. But I will say...
Well, technically we can, we just didn't bother.
They specifically messaged me as a hurricane was barreling in on me and said, SP, where's that email from Andy? We need that email from Andy. So yes, Andy's email got in last week. But so here's
I asked for that because I was like, I'll just check the others when I get home. I can do that myself. And then I did not do that.
That's right. Well, here is your 2 weeks of Twitter feedback. So Mr. Pericletes, way back on August 25th, says, does this mean that Steve will be Nomad instead? And what he's referring to has been widely reported by now, but it's the fact that Steve Rogers will no longer be Captain America in the MCU. So the question is, will he be Nomad? And I don't think that's actually been answered, but it has been answered that he will not be Captain America in the MCU. When he put that shield down, that was it. No more Captain America for Steve Rogers.
No, he's going to show up in the next movie with the black leotard, the deep V-neck, yellow cape. It's going to look great.
Yep. Come on, Chris Evans can so pull that off.
Sure he can. So Mr. Pericletes tweeted us on August 26th as well and said, listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 139, this submission should have been live model decoy, dumb autocorrect. So life model decoy or live model decoy. There you go. He's saying it's live model decoy.
It should be life though.
Yes. Should.
But it's okay. We'll allow it.
At Kodiak GWC on August 27th tweeted us and he said, actually, we have heard of you. And what he's referring to is the IO9 tweet about Luke Cage is stronger than a speeding bullet in his first clip from the upcoming show. And of course, I mean, the man takes so many freaking bullets. It's insane. It's great. The Badger Spoon was very active with us these past couple weeks. So let's just go through some of the tweets. It's all Adrian Palicki related. So Adrian Palicki was in the pilot for Supernatural, which is going on into season 12. So we were asking, has Adrian Palicki been in a pilot that she then was not killed off or that
the show wasn't canceled.
The show was killed off.
And Supernatural, of course, is one of those. I did not know she was in the pilot. That was interesting.
I always forget that. But yeah, she was Jared Padalecki's girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah, she made it almost to the end of the episode. So close.
And then he tweeted us and he said, clearly, the secret is making sure that she dies before the end of the episode, thus confirming the girlfriend theory that you were talking about. And his next tweet, I think I have some umbrage against, not that it's bad, but he says she survived the pilots for Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Most Wanted. Just saying, well, Most Wanted, that never made it on screen.
And I think that's what he's saying. None of those pilots made it on screen.
Right. It's if she survives to the end of the pilot, the show is doomed.
Ah, I see. And we still don't know if she was in the Friday Night Lights pilot or not. I still have to look that up as well. So thank you very much, Batterspoon. I appreciate your feedback. Richard at Kodiak GWC tweeted us on August 31st, and he said, some cool info about the music for the series. And this is what I thought you were going for before with the music with the episode titles, Lauren. But
no, I think we talked about that last week, though.
Okay. So big beats, bigger beatdowns. Check out the music behind the series. And I did actually watch that, and I'm not the biggest hip hop guy, but it's done in a way that it's going to make me really enjoy the series.
It seems like it's okay. So in terms of the hip hop, it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. It's like true to the roots of it. And I don't mean like the roots, like the band, but I mean, hell, maybe they're in it too. But, because it takes place in Harlem, you kind of can't avoid the music. Because, you know, music in Harlem is so kind of intrinsically linked. So right. I really love that they're bringing that in to the extent of naming the episode titles after songs.
I enjoy it. And I enjoyed what I heard in relation to the scenes that it was showing. So in the clip. So I think I'm going to like the music, even though I don't like hip hop, because I think they did it in a way that's going to be great. So I can't wait to see the series at the end of the month. September 30th is when it comes out. At Sergeant Ook That's Calvin. He won our Women of Marvel crate and he finally opened it up when he got it. I have no idea how long it took to get to him because it was a long shipping that had to occur there. And did you guys see these tweets or these pictures in the show notes?
Mm-hmm.
It's great. So the first tweet, he said some new reading material and I had sent him the Marvel Collector Core Civil War 2 Women of Power comic, as well as, guess what? I had an extra copy of Captain Marvel number 1. So he got that. So I hope you enjoy that. I really enjoy that series, by the way, as I do the Ultimates. Aside from Civil War 2, Captain Marvel has been an amazing character. And I think we've all talked about in different forms anyway, how Civil War 2 just doesn't fit her character. But she's being played off in different other comics like the Ultimates and stuff as the Captain Marvel that we all know. So really enjoy that. Also, he opened the little 2 vinyl bobbleheads and he got a She-Hulk and Captain Marvel. So congratulations there. He got his t-shirt. He got, Lauren, I'm sorry about this, but he got a Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl.
Pop Funko, full sized, as you know, as they come in a little, whatever they are, 6 inches, whatever. And then last but not least, he tweeted us and he said, I also think the folks at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. might like my geeky jersey. Of course we like your geeky jersey. And it's the Deadpool chimichangas with the guns going across. And yes, of course, that was a great geeky jersey. I did not purchase one because my funds for geeky jerseys are kind of getting depleted. I took a look at how much I have sent geeky jerseys over the years, and it's in the thousands, folks. Yes, I have bankrolled their
kids.
They
named their boat after them, so.
Stargate Pioneer. Yeah, there you go.
Everyone's got their thing, so.
I did not get the Deadpool jersey, and I'm regretting it, but I did not get it. So I am going to wear my Rogue One jersey to the Star Wars premiere, though. That's going to be cool.
Well, yeah.
At Born to Eat Bacon was also prolific with his tweets. He said, Thanksgiving has this. And now, what I was talking about was I didn't think Thanksgiving was such a big movie weekend. And then everybody was arguing with me, saying I was wrong. And apparently I am, because Born to Eat Bacon said,
what have we learned?
Yeah. Thanksgiving has historically been the biggest movie theater day of the year. Really, of the year? It's not like May? Okay.
Nope. People can't stand their families.
It's like, I love you guys so much. Let's go somewhere dark where we can't see each other and we can't talk.
Right. Yep. Sorry, Stargate Pioneer, but it's just you. No, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Mary Jane is a ginger and may or may not be part of why I might crush on ginger chicks. So he wants Mary Jane to be the ginger. I don't think there's anything that says that she's not going to be redhead. Right?
She's just also going to have dark skin.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with her hair, but there's nothing that says they can't make it red. So there you go. And then he said, nobody grew up crushing on Jean Grey like I did crushing on Mary Jane Watson. I want to marry her. Well, first of all, she's a fictitious character, so good luck with that. And
second of all, she's a minor.
Well, depending on, I mean, in the comics, she's in like her 30s.
In this one,
she's a minor.
And then third of all, you've got Wolverine and Cyclops to worry about, in addition to several other characters that have superpowers.
Oh, that's for Jean Grey. Also, every other member of the X-Men, if you read the right comic. There's one horrible panel from a 1960s comic where Professor X is crushing on her.
Oh, that was creepy. That one was creepy.
So creepy.
Was it like the Demolition Day when they were doing the fluidless transfer sex mind thing?
No, it's like he's thinking in his mind and he's like, well, I don't. Something, it's like, oh, I have such a thing for Jean, but she's my student. And it's like, dude.
It, that thought only exists in that single panel. It's so weird. It's one of those panels that they pull all the time, like when they're talking about what weird things Xavier that were said in old comics. That's one of them.
Yeah, that and like the comic where Magneto makes Scarlet Witch dance for him. You remember that one? Have you gotten there yet?
Nope.
Oh, man, it's a trip. Magneto makes Scarlet Witch dance for him. But okay. I think this is before they made it so that she's his daughter.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the part where they're his kids yet.
Okay.
Talking about catching up with comics, Haley, you need to catch up so you can read this. The all
okay,
new, all
it'll
new...
only take me like 40 or 50 more years.
Yeah,
I'm working
right.
on it.
The all new, all different Avengers number 14 with Wasp, both Wasps in it. I know both you ladies would love this. So yeah, you got to catch up, Haley. Gotta
okay,
do that.
It's in Avengers 110.
Oh, with Avengers 110. With the X-Men love affair
yeah.
thing?
Yeah. With Magneto made Scarlet Witch dance.
Oh.
It's really weird.
So something that's not weird is that at Cody at GWC, who tweets us all the time, thank you, buddy, for giving us this. At the time, it was September 3rd, and he said, only 64 days and counting. He's talking about Doctor Strange. So he is really excited about Doctor Strange coming in November. Did you ladies see this next one from Mr. Pericletes?
The unnecessary censorship?
Yeah, the unnecessary censorship of Civil War.
I love this.
That was pretty cool. I mean, it's just normal things that they were saying that they beep out stuff to make it dirty, but it was
the
fun
really
to watch.
Funny ones, in my opinion, are the ones that are like Disney.
Of course.
Just because
it's supposed to be innocent and it totally isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at Cody at GWC also tweeted us today with an IO9 spoiler free review of Luke Cage. So you can go check that out if you want to. Now comes the time where we talk Andy, who has given
us... Okay, can I do it this time?
Yes, Haley, it is yours.
Okay. I'm going to get to the important parts where he owes us money. So in this, he says, $10 this Asian corpse will reanimate. Well, that didn't pay out, so now he owes us $10. $20 they work for Stick. Edit. Damn, it is Madame Gao. So he owes us $30, $10 each, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, send that money in before the next cast, Andy. We take cash.
American Express, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. PayPal it to us. Figure it out. We'll take it.
What was his bottom line for the episode, Haley?
Bottom line, 8 out of 10 hospital administrative strikes.
That's right. Not just 3, but 10. Or in his case, 8. I don't think Andy knows how to play baseball. So thank you very much to everybody that got into us. And don't forget, we have a voicemail line too, so you can catch us at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. It's time to walk this one out, ladies. Join us next week as we discuss Daredevil Season 2, Episodes 12 and 13 with Michelle Ealy, who now I can announce is a full-fledged host or co-host or presenter, if you prefer that sort of terminology, if you're from across the pond, of the Starling Tribune. So congratulations, Michelle, for your entrance into being a GunnaGeek.com regular. The contract, if it ever makes it public, is hilarious. Put together by Neil. Thank you very much, Neil, for being the contractual master from the GunnaGeek.com NUF Center. Yeah, wherever you actually live, Storybrooke, Vancouver, Star City, I don't know, wherever it is. Anyway, please join us next week for that. You can always find our live streams at geeks.live, and that is if I actually get technically astute enough to actually pull this off without any issues next week. So we're hoping for that. We do have a website, legendsofshield.com, that will take you to all of our content. I do have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. We do have a Facebook account, so you can reach us there. Pay attention to our wonderful stuff that Lauren posts there. Our Twitter account, which Lauren live tweets the episodes, in this case, episodes, on Tuesday night. Prior, are you going to start at 8 Central or 7 Central next week?
I'll probably do 8.
Okay. And that is a 2-hour live tweet for her. And we do have a Tumblr account, and you can catch all of our video shows at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. Just want to say thank you to you. You're listening to this podcast. You're watching this podcast on YouTube. You're catching our live streams on Facebook Live, on YouTube, on Spreaker. Thank you very much for listening and downloading the show. It means a lot to us because we just do this for the fun of it, and if you respond back to us, that makes it even more fun because we like to have fun. And so thank you for having fun with us.
And I want to thank everybody who gets a hold of us on Twitter, on Facebook, in the live chat, wherever. We really enjoy hearing back from you, and we just love having y'all around.
And thank you to everybody that's entered into our contest so far. Just remember, you have 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks left.
Well, 1 week.
Well, no, because it's the 20th.
It was always the 14th.
Oh, well, for the last few episodes, I'm pretty sure we said the 20th.
All right. We'll extend it to the 20th, but we do have something else to give away, too, so I'm excited for that.
Okay. Well, get your entries in soon. Remember, you want to let us know what ridiculous thing Tony Stark would spend his money on, and that will enter you to win the RFID Shielded Shield Wallet. So get those entries to us, Facebook, Twitter, email, voicemail, carrier pigeon, anything that we will keep a record of. Don't throw it in the chat or anything like that, because that does not keep a record for us, and we will forget, and you will not be entered to win.
Can they provide it via hot air balloon delivery?
Hot air balloon, skywriting, smoke signals, but you'll want to let us know when you're going to send the skywriter or smoke signal so we can be outside to read it.
Pony Express?
Oh, do that so I can keep the pony.
I don't think you get to keep the pony.
I get to keep the pony.
What is the guy supposed to ride home on?
Uber.
His car, yeah. I think in this day and age, if you got a Pony Express, you get the pony. And on that bombshell, until next week, I am Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
Haley, do you have a favorite show that's on that list from Steven Sergic at all?
I don't know. Jessica Jones is pretty awesome.
It is. But yeah. There's also The Flash. So, I mean, you got a couple to choose from there.
There's Wayne's World 2.
Yep. And then also...
I love the silence.
I'm sorry. This is new. I'm trying to do some switching tonight. So it's...
It's fine. It's fine that Wayne's World 2 is not something to celebrate.
Wayne's World, party on. Excellent. Okay, we good there? I guess.
Yeah.
You leave
that
me
was
hanging.
Really good. That was cool.
Woohoo! We made it to the end.
Did you notice the boxes are gone?
Yeah, that's awesome.
They're over there now.
They're still here. They're just not in the camera view.
Well, the tubs are at least put away in the closet.